This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. Just like every week here on Christ Together, you can join us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon right here on Christ Together Radio. And you can also check us out online at WDCXradio.com. If you want to check out some of the past episodes that we've done, some of the past programs, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, scroll down to Christ Together, and you can get to know us a little bit better. Check out some of our previous programs and just see what God is doing in Western New York. That's what the show is about. It's about finding out where God is on the move in Western New York and bringing that to you, the everyday listener, just driving along. You're finding out where God is moving. That's the idea of the program, is just to be a mouthpiece for the Church of Western New York to share God's mission and what he's doing. Ryan, it's great to have you in studio here today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really fun to do this show with you. I think one of the things, just as you were talking, trying to remind our listening eyes, kind of three things we really focus on for the show is one, just putting on display the greater body partnership that exists between churches, like church-to-church partnership and parachurch ministry partnership. That's a huge thing that we focus on. Another one, which we'll talk a little bit more about today, is that realm of church planting. And so we've got Brian Wandell in studio with us today, so it'd be fun to get to know him better. But then lastly, just the mobilization of all of God's people. And Brett, that's what you were talking about. And we hope to use this show as a platform just for people to understand that you can move, that God is moving. Mm-hmm. And if you sense that he may be calling you into some of this type of stuff that you hear about, there are ways that we can connect you to these stories and get you more involved in the movement of God in the region. And that's just a really exciting thing to be a part of.
That's so true, Ryan, because if you look back at the different shows that we've done, very rarely is it people with huge visions to save the world mm-hmm. that do amazing things for God, because sometimes amazing things are just singles, right?
Yes.
Hit singles.
Yeah.
And we often wait for this big moment or this big calling for this big idea, and we forget that God really wants us to hit singles. And what mm-hmm. that means is in our everyday life, as we go, I think of Mike and just the great, I think we aired that last week. It was a rebroadcast mm-hmm. Or a few weeks ago, just of Mike White, of how just he made a really good point. I was driving along listening to our own show, which is kind of awkward. But no, I was listening to our own show, and Mike was talking about just the value of as you go, mm-hmm. be ready to share Christ. Always be ready to give an account for what you believe and just to share the gospel. And so hopefully as you're driving along today or you're listening at home and you've poured that second cup of coffee, as we always say, mm-hmm. just kind of just sitting down and just digesting what God is doing, that you're going to be inspired to share Christ as you go. And that life stories like Brian's today that we're going to share mm-hmm. just kind of spark something in you that says, you know what, I need to do a little bit more wherever I am.
Absolutely.
So Brian Wandell joins us today, and it's really cool to have him here. It's I'm looking forward to hearing Brian's story. It's unique.
Yeah.
And I remember Ryan sitting in the upstairs at Village Church here in Buffalo and hearing Brian's story for the first time as he's a church planter mm-hmm. From a very unique background, a very unique denominational leaning. So it's a really cool story, and just to see how God uses people from all different walks of life and different mentality and different thinking to accomplish his mission.
Really cool. It was funny. I think back to that night too. And, you know, I didn't know Brian until really getting the application. I'm on the subcommittee for CPI, the Church Planting Initiative, which is a collaboration of churches investing money to plant churches in our region. I remember reading his thing and going, huh, this is, wow, an Anglican wants to plant a church in Buffalo. This is pretty interesting. And so the vision night came, and it was really fun to hear Brian's story. So, Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much, Ryan and Brett, and to all the listeners. It's so good to spend this time with all of you. I've been gone from Buffalo for about 10 years after moving back just this year, and it's so fun to hear other people's stories. But I know that for those of you who have not moved out of the area or who moved back prior to me, I know this will be a good time for you to hear my own story. There's so many different stories going on in Buffalo right now. So it's amazing to hear what the Lord is doing in all those stories.
Yeah. It is. Well, when we come back up, we're going to take a break in just a minute here. Not quite yet, but in just a minute. When we come back, we're going to dig further into Brian's story, Ryan, and just kind of how God is working in Western New York. And, you know, as we're in the fall season kind of here, and leaves are starting to change, and kind of like we were just talking earlier, life starts to pick up again. The reality of life picks up again at this time of year that we're recording this, and busyness happens. And so what's nice is that we sit down and kind of understand where God is moving. I think of busyness. I think of, you know, just getting busy for God. And sometimes we're busy in all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. But as we kind of just take a minute and take a break and just figure out where God is working and we get underneath it, that's the, kind of the theme of the show. Mm-hmm. This is one of those areas. And so if you can just take a minute and listen to Brian's story, I think it'll bless you. And I think you'll realize that God is a unique God, and we often paint him in our own box, in our own mental box of who he is. And sometimes God is just works through the uniquenesses of people to accomplish his mission. So stay tuned. We're going to hear Brian Wendell's story in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're happy that you've chosen to join in and tune in with us today. And we hope that you'll join in with us. If you have any questions, you can always find us online at WDCXradio.com. Click on Christ Together. You can ask or email a question to Ryan or myself or any of the guests that we've had on the show. Feel free to ask away, and we'll do our best to respond quickly to you. And, you know, we've had some people write in with some pretty difficult questions or some, you know, pretty interesting situations. And we're always glad to field those as best we can and to help you out. If you want to see us cover, maybe there's something going on that we don't know about. We don't pretend to know everything that's going on in the region or everything that God is doing. If you're aware of something or your church has a unique ministry or something, let us know about it. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
And you can email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com, and we'd love to pass that on or to talk to you. Ryan, I'm looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to hearing Brian's story, and it's unique, and I enjoyed hearing it the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to a much more, I mean, that was what, 10 minutes did you have, something like that?
Yeah.
7 minutes?
10.
And the who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Yeah, yeah, and Ryan was a Gestapo on the time over there.
That was Jeremy, it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, it was. No, so I'm looking forward to digging much deeper into your story, Brian's, and Ryan, this is going to be really tough, Brian.
So you're doing great.
So Ryan, getting to know, you said that you didn't really know Brian until you first got the CPI yeah. application.
Yeah, no, and it's funny, like, I'll do a quick confessional here. So Brian's application came in, and there were, I think there were 15 people that applied for some financial help with CPI this year. And it was our first year. So we, you know, we didn't really know how a lot of this was going to go, but we wanted to be like hyper vigilant about just don't interact with people before the pitch night. Let's just have integrity in this process, because some of us know some of the people, some of us don't. And I remember at one point, I think we had sent out letters inviting you, Brian, to be a part of the pitch night. So we had worked from 15 applications down to 9, and we ultimately funded 5. We actually funded all 9 of them in different ways, but, you know, we went with partnership for 5 of the groups, and Brian was ultimately selected. But I remember, I think Brian had reached out to me for coffee.
That's right.
And I'm like,
which I do to everyone, by the way.
Yes.
If you see me on the street, let me know. We'll join.
We'll grab coffee. Yeah. But I remember Yeah, with respect to grabbing coffee, his email was like, "Hey, I really want to get to know you better, and thanks for inviting me to the pitch night and stuff like that." And so for CPI, which is the Church Planting Initiative, I think I mentioned that before, but it's just an opportunity for us in the region. There's about 16 churches that financially contribute to help plant churches together in the region from all different denominations and different stripes, but within what we would call Orthodox Christianity. Okay, so Jesus is the only way. The Bible is authoritative. The Great Commission still applies today. The Trinity is real. That sort of belief system. We get together and we plant churches. But anyway, I remember writing back to Brian going, you know, I'd really like to grab coffee with you, but I just want to have integrity in this process.
And integrity you have. It's very great to see you.
So it was just a fun, it was kind of a fun story. But anyway, Brian, what we'd love to do is, you know, a lot of people they just don't know your story. They don't know your upbringing and how you kind of, so we would love to hear just Brian Wandell growing up in Western New York, Brian Wandell leaving Western New York, Brian Wandell coming back to Western New York. Can you walk us through that? We got about 10 minutes to kind of hit that, and that would be fun to learn a little bit more about.
That's great. Thanks so much, Ryan. I have some story here, maybe a little bit less story than the co-hosts here due to age, but I'll be happy to share what I have.
Did you just call us old?
No, no. So I grew up in this area. My family started out in Kaisertown when I was young, which is in the city of Buffalo. It's a little old German neighborhood with a bunch of old Polish families like my own were also settling there. And then my family moved out to the town of Tonawanda when I was young. And so that's where most of my growing up was, in the town of Tonawanda, attended the Kenton schools and played all the sports out there and that kind of thing. So that was my upbringing in this area. You know, I was a Bills fan from the time I left the womb, and a trying life it has been.
It explains the twitches.
That's right. That's right, yeah, and the wrinkles and the gray hair.
Exactly.
So that was my upbringing. I was also brought up in a church that is out in Clarence right now, but it was in the city of Buffalo at the time, Lovejoy Church, which is a large charismatic church. Ron Bergio, I'm sure many listeners know, has been the pastor there for a long time. And so that's where my faith formation was growing as a child. And, you know, among churches, that was itself a unique experience. If you grew up not in a church, if you grew up in a Lutheran or a Catholic church, it would be a bit of a different experience. But I learned the Bible there, and I learned about a personal relationship with Jesus. And we had so that's where my story was for most of my growing up. In those years, like I said, the church is out in Clarence now, and so that became the core part of my identity. You know, I often think now we have kind of all of us have spiritual roots. You know, mm-hmm. we try to learn new ways to pray. We try to learn new ways to worship. We all have kind of default mode settings that were set very early on,
right?
Whether in a church or from a grandfather praying with us or something like that. And mine were set at Lovejoy. So I'm so thankful to the people there who were a part of that for me.
Yeah. So, you know, transitioning from Lovejoy, that's kind of the big part of your upbringing. Where did you go from there? Like, as you grow up, you've come back to Buffalo, so
that's
you,
right.
Which means you've left, and then you come back. Where has life taken you over the last few years?
Yeah, not around the world, but I have been out of the area for a while. So I did college in Rochester, not too far away, Roberts Wesleyan College, which is an evangelical Christian college, just an hour from here.
Little plug for Roberts.
That's there. Right. Yeah, go team.
JP Anderson and the gang over there.
Go Redhawks. So that's where my, you know, and the next part of my spiritual formation was. But I left the area after college, basically. I came back home, worked at a group home in this area for about 9 months before leaving the area. And, you know, both me and both of my siblings left the area after college, not unlike many young people looking for jobs. Some people, I guess, run from the snow and the weather. That wasn't me. I don't mind that part. But I did leave just, you know, looking for opportunities. And when I was finishing college, I was fascinated by politics. So I had done a lot of college ministry. I liked doing ministry kind of work, but I did not. Whenever people suggested it to me, I strongly pushed back on that. I thought that
I reject
exactly
your statement.
yeah, absolutely not. And I was just fascinated by how the world worked in a political way. And so I left the area to do a political Christian political fellowship program out in Colorado Springs called the John Jay Institute.
Oh, okay.
Studying
cool.
Politics and theology, kind of historical Christian political views. So going beyond the last 35 years of moral majority and sort of the Christian politics that we've kind of come to recognize, going back to the church fathers and throughout church history, how things have run.
That sounds fascinating.
So we spent about there were about a dozen of us. It was an ecumenical program. Catholics, Orthodox, Protestants got together to study. We sort of a monastic life that we led together for 3.5 months out in Colorado Springs, which was great. Yeah. So as part of the program, we did basically in the afternoons and evenings, we would read Irenaeus, Tertullian, Thomas Aquinas, these kind of giants of the Christian faith, thinking about the faith over the years and applying that to government and law and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And we wore academic gowns as part of the program, so very medieval.
You guys are straight old school.
That's right, yeah. And then just 3 hours of sporadic discussion every morning for what we had read the previous day. But as part of the program, it was ecumenical, but it was hosted at an Anglican church out there. Wow. And as part of the program, we did morning and evening prayer together every day out of the Book of Common Prayer, which is the sort of core spiritual document compass for the Anglican way of following Jesus. And so none of us from the program had that in our background, but we use that as sort of our basis. It's a lot of beautiful language and prayers that helped us to think in a new way.
So is that was that the point at which the Anglican tradition began to be more appealing to you?
Right, yeah. It is.
Lovejoy's not Anglican.
It is not.
Love Ron.
Yeah. It's not. Many people will, ask me now that I'm back in Buffalo and they see me wearing a clerical collar or I introduce myself as Father Brian, I explain to them what the Anglican way of following Jesus is. And, they expect some kind of a story of like a falling out or a rejection.
Right.
And that was not it for me. I found new resources that were helpful for me in some unique ways, personal to my life and just generally helpful, I thought, in prayer and devotion and community. And that program started to kickstart some of that. We, as part of the, this morning and evening prayer routine, we start out together by confessing our sins together, and that was really powerful for me. My default mode of confession for a long time, it's sort of been like, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Help me to do better next time," and then kind of just hope it'll be better next time. And it was powerful for me to pray with a dozen other people praying together the same prayer, but with our own consciousness of our own sins, going through this longer. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen. And praying that with a group of people, it gave me... On the one hand, new consciousness of my sin as we go through these categories, but also a kind of communal sense that we are in this together, that we are receiving the grace of Jesus Christ together, and that through all of this, we are being transformed to love and work in Jesus' mission.
Wow. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's Pastor Brian Wandell. Brian, what do you have a name for your church yet?
We don't. We're starting that process this Sunday. We're going to work through some names. So we're just Buffalo Anglican Church Plant at the present time.
Yeah, so very I love the name. But as they're working on naming, but Brian is he's come back to Buffalo, and when we get back from the break, we're gonna kind of connect where you left off here with how you come back to Buffalo and what that all looks like. But I'm Ryan Cozy. You're listening to Christ Together Radio along with my co-host Brett Larson, a fine gentleman and a scholar. I feel smarter, to be honest, being in the room with an Anglican. Don't you just feel like, I mean, it's as close to being British.
I am the best dressed person in the station.
The weird thing is when he speaks, there's no accent. We need to work on that.
I mean, he was in a program when they were in academic gowns.
Yeah.
That's right.
He said it was monastic. So yeah. It's like what?
I mean, I put my PhD gown on and walk around the house, and my wife's like, get that off. Get out of here.
She's like, I'm not impressed.
Not at all. No. Not in the least.
Take out the garbage, Ryan.
My children, literally, they'll say, my dad is a doctor, but not the kind that can actually help anybody. And the train has gone off the rails.
It really is true. There's so what I love, Ryan, about just even what we've done here is just the variety of the body of Christ coming in, and you know, we're more academically minded, so I think this is to me it's like, oh yeah, this is really cool. But then just the passion of a Chad Rieselman and the different parts
lots
of the
of
body of
the
Christ
body.
That have different expressions. I love how you said that different expressions are ways of following Christ. It's beautiful.
I think so too.
And I think when we get to heaven someday, God's just going to wrap everybody up in his arms and say, well done, because you know, those who have just followed hard after me. I just think it's so neat, and how personalities developed throughout that. This is Christ Together Radio. Brian Wendell joining us from the Buffalo Anglican Church plant, and we'll get to it in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're glad you chose to join us today. We know you have options on the dial. We're glad you chose 99.5 or AM 970 to join us this morning or this afternoon. If you're listening to us on a Saturday, it's 9 a.m. and on Sundays, it's noon. You can also check us out online at wdcxradio.com. Click on programs and Christ Together Radio, and you can find out past episodes, or if you're just catching us and you want to hear the earlier segments, although I think the best is yet to come. But if you want to pick up on those, you can go to Christ Together Radio on our website and listen to past episodes. Ryan, we're hearing from Brian Wendell today. Great stories, and I just you mentioned earlier, and I think it's funny, but it's true. As we all feel smarter when Brian walks in the room with his collar and the Anglican tradition. But I love hearing just how God shapes people. And it's funny because in the moments, many times we don't realize what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And then we look behind us with hindsight.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's how you were shaping us. And just coming up in Buffalo, and the whole story is
absolutely
great.
You know, one of the things I love too is, and I it's always important for me to emphasize this, because part of my job is like, I want to build a greater body partnership. And I just love how God used Lovejoy Church in your life, to give you this foundation and to help you. And you had talked about you discovered some other resources as you were growing in your faith. And so we're grateful for the work of Lovejoy Church. We're grateful for the relationship over the years that we've had. And we're also grateful that it produces, people that are following Jesus, that God may call them to be to stay in that stream of the tradition of their faith, but that he may also call you into other things. And so, where we left off in the last segment, Brian, you were just talking with us about just how the Anglican tradition kind of became a little bit more appealing to you. But let's talk about continue the journey of where I believe from that. From being out in Colorado Springs, you ultimately end up in Washington, D.C., which leads you here. So let's take some time to unpack that for people.
Thanks. Yeah. Again, my name is Brian Wendell. I'm planning an Anglican church here in Buffalo. I grew up in this area and left about 10 years ago in 2007 for a fellowship program in Colorado, which eventually sent me out to Washington, D.C. to intern in the Senate. Like I said, I was interested in politics. I just wanted to get my feet wet in that area. So I interned and worked for Congress for a little while.
What was that like? I mean, I don't know many people who intern in the Senate. What kind of experiences were that?
It was fascinating. You know, it's just fun to be around, you know, interesting people and have interesting questions. But being in D.C. in general, you're around all kinds of people. People are there to change the world. And so that's why I wanted to be there. So I went there, was involved in government political work for a little while. But the main part that was, important for my journey there was I happened to fall into this evangelical Anglican church that's right on Capitol Hill when I got there. Had developed some interest in this program out in Colorado, and then landed in this great church that was right on Capitol Hill, had been a recent church plant that was planting churches that were planting churches in the D.C. area. And so just a fantastic little community that had ties to some Rwandan churches, some great relationships with the Rwandan church as well, like I said, planting new churches in Washington, D.C., creating a lot of people who are in this, you think of some of these Anglican or liturgical churches that, you might think, oh, this person, that must be what they were comfortable with growing up. In the church that I was in there, 98% of the people did not have any of that background behind them. They were just taken by this vision.
Yeah. Real quick, you said something, and I just, thinking of our listening audience, I know what you're talking about, but I'm thinking the big middle probably doesn't. You kind of mentioned your connection with the Rwandan Anglican movement, and I think it might be helpful for people to understand, what was that all about? Sure. What about Rwanda? What happened there with the Anglicans?
Yeah, so a brief historical background. You may not recognize the term the Anglican Church. It's not as large in America, though it is roughly the third largest Protestant denomination in the world behind the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. So worldwide, it's very big. It's basically the church, started out just the church that was in England. And then at the Reformation, you can imagine a couple of different streams going different ways. The church needed to be reformed, and the Roman Catholic Church kind of coalesced into what it is today. And on the Protestant side, some people said we need to go back to the first century and kind of restart from there. And in England, in general, they said, let's see what we can do here sort of in the middle. How can we keep the best of both worlds? Some traditions have built up that are actually helpful for spiritual growth. Can we keep those while getting rid of the chaff, the bad stuff as well? And so that became the Anglican tradition that eventually grew through missions and the British Empire and all kinds of things. So by name, it is connected to England, but it is really a worldwide movement. There are more Anglicans in Nigeria than there are in England, more in Rwanda than there are in the U.S. So traditionally, there is one Anglican church per country for a long time. That was the Episcopal Church in the United States. Over the course of the 20th century, there were a number of problems there that some people had with the orthodoxy of the Episcopal Church. And so about 15 years ago, a new entity started to form in the United States called the Anglican Church in North America. And some churches such as the one in Africa and the one in Rwanda throughout Africa helped to get that going. So okay. they were part of that and giving us oversight and stability in that time.
Okay. So that experience in Washington, you're a part of an Anglican church that's planting churches. Where does that lead you? How do you get back to Buffalo?
That's right. Yeah. Part of it was failure, a lot of failure. I was interested in
welcome home.
I was interested in got a job for a congressman who got voted out of office 3 months after I got there. I was interested in studying history academically, just didn't get funding at the programs I wanted. My wife and I looked at going overseas for a little while. Those didn't work out. And through that process, I started to ask the question, okay, well, I've been rejecting fairly strongly these suggestions to be in ministry. Am I missing the boat on something there? So I started trying to discern that. And it made sense in some ways, but it also, there was never that sort of spiritual extra something that I felt called to it. So I stepped away. I was doing accounting work at the time, decided to pursue that, did an accounting degree, took the CPA exams, pursued that path. And then about 5 years ago in that process, I was starting the accounting thing, and a good friend of mine that I grew up with here at Lovejoy, his name is Ben, and he had kind of walked away from the faith when he was in college, and then had a dramatic conversion back to the Christian faith about 5 years ago. Great story. And he and so anyway, we were really reconnecting in a number of ways when, you know, me from DC, he living here on Lafayette Avenue in Buffalo. And just trying to find, you know, so where are, you know, I was thinking back, because I just grew up, you know, like I said, in Lovejoy. That was kind of my church world. So I started looking back, you know, where are the really solid churches in the city of Buffalo that are faithful to the gospel, that are missional in their communities, that are emotionally healthy, that kind of thing. And there wasn't as much as I had thought would be there. So that was the thing that started a snowball rolling. My wife and I started talking about it. And it was one of those conversations that we get to the end of the conversation and we don't quite want to say it, but it's like, I know exactly what God wants us to do. And we developed a five-year plan from there, sort of a Soviet five-year plan to get back here. And it took all of that effort, all that discipline, but eventually we moved back here this year.
Yeah. So as you get back to Buffalo, readjusting, how has that been for y'all?
It's so funny in some ways to be back here. You know, I drive down Niagara Street here, and it's, you know, leaving 10 years ago, it was something different. I drive down there now, and I see all these Vietnamese and Burmese restaurants. You know, like, where did this all come from? You know, it's very different in some ways, but it's, as many of you know, it's an exciting place. My family and I have three kids. My wife and I, we live on the west side of Buffalo, which is very exciting. Right now, a lot of stuff happening. It's an enormous mixing pot. So we've moved back here, and we've just started to gather people, aiming for a December launch date for a church plant. It's all kinds of people, and so we have all kinds of conversations. You know, in my area, you can go three blocks in any direction, and you'll hit very wealthy people, or in one direction down Richmond, or the other direction, Grant Street, a few blocks the other way, and half the women are wearing head coverings. So it's, you know, just a wide variety.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's interesting that I've found personally. So I'm from Cleveland, which is kind of, I feel it's basically like Buffalo. It's just twice the size, right? It's just a bigger version. Yeah. So Buffalo kind of, that neighborhood feel of Buffalo is more pronounced here. And I love it. But one of the things I find fascinating is, as refugee resettlement, as, you know, refugee resettlement meets, you know, financial renaissance, meets cash infusion, meets, you know, parts of the city that are forgotten. One of the things that I've come to appreciate it is just the need for people to understand the diversity and what you just hit on. You can walk three blocks in any direction of where you're at. And really, the West Side is that kind of a cross section where, you know, Grant Street is, you know, in many ways, it's like little Africa.
It is.
Right? You know, in the summertime, the markets, you're just blown away. And yet, if you would have left here 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen the resurgence that runs from Buffalo State all the way down, you know, to Sweetness 7 Cafe and, you know, all those other places. But it's just I'm blown away by how much has changed, but also how many people that aren't navigating it, that aren't in it, they don't realize how much it's changed.
That's true.
And if we're exegeting our culture as believers, if we're saying to ourselves we have a responsibility to engage relationally and share the hope of the gospel, that's a pretty important part of this piece of conversation.
Right. And people are there for different reasons.
Absolutely.
You know, there are many places in America where there's turnover and, you know, new people moving into a neighborhood or that kind of thing. But you know, there are so many different reasons that people are moving there, like you said. You know, there are the old Italian stock that were just there. You know,
they're holding the fort.
My neighbor bought her house in the 60s, you know, and then there were changes in the neighborhood a few decades ago where there was more of an African-American population moving in, and then Puerto Rican and Latino, and then the refugee population, and then the young hipsters, as well as my neighbors on the other side are a couple in their 60s who just moved into the city. You know, it's just people are there for all kinds of different reasons, and that means you know, you have to talk with a lot of different dialects, you know?
Right.
You're talking, I don't have an accent, I guess, you know, so I don't speak in everyone's accent, but you do have to understand where everyone's coming from, why they're there, and therefore what their spiritual needs might be.
Hmm. It's interesting in many ways, Ryan. It's almost, and Brian, it's almost more difficult in some ways because there was a day when you kind of learned a culture, learned an idea, and if you were to move, let's say start a church on the West Side, you knew largely you were reaching an Italian population, mm-hmm. an Italian-American population, and you know what that all stands for. It means sauce on Sundays and people are going to come over and you can kind of sure. create community. Mm-hmm. But now you have such a diverse culture that you do have to speak many dialects, and there's an opportunity, but there's also a difficulty because it's very difficult to be all things to all people.
Right.
It's ideal in many ways, but it's difficult. And so I'm curious to hear more as in this next segment, and then as we continue on in next week, you're going to come back next week, about your plan to reach people and how the church might shape up as you're, you know, on the West Side, and that's kind of your home now, and how you're going to reach your community. Because I think it'll help others in this kind of multicultural world, especially as we have so many Toronto listeners. It'll help them kind of understand.
Well, they're kind of like, yeah, the world has come to us.
Yeah, they're right. they're like
Buffalo's behind.
Yeah, they're like the flagship for multicultural and cosmopolitan cities. So
absolutely.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes right here on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozey bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozey, as we do every week, hosting Christ Together Radio right here on WDCX. You can find us at 9 a.m. on Saturdays, noon on Sundays, or online at WDCXradio.com. Go to programs and scroll down to Christ Together Radio. Check out a little bit about Ryan, a little bit about me, if you want to. And you can also listen to past episodes and programs that we've done. There should be quite a few in there. So you can, if you're ever bored or you need to just waste some time, go ahead and do that. And it is valuable, though, because not because of the programming quality, although we strive for that, but more just because it's great to hear what God is doing. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. If you want to send us an email, there's an email form there as well to contact us. And we'd love to hear from you. Give us some pointers and let us know what you think of the show, and also if there's something we need to know about or hear about that you feel like everybody else needs to know about. We'd love to talk about it. Today we're with Brian Wendell. Pastor Brian Wendell is the lead on the Buffalo Anglican Church plant, working on a name this Sunday. So maybe you know, some other time we'll have a name for
yes.
you, an official launch name. And it's interesting, Brian. One quick question, and it just popped into my head. Does like an Anglican church plant have all the same kind of, I mean, like there's like a formula, right, for church plants that's kind of formed, and now they all look different.
Well, that formula is getting jacked up.
It's getting very jacked up. But like, is there like
you can pay for a lot of books and conferences if you want to.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But I'm just curious, like in the Anglican church, is there like a formula they use or a format that they use, or is it just kind of like, hey man, come up with something?
There are a lot of ways to do it, and maybe this will be a good transition here.
Sure.
So you know, there are a couple of main ways that people do this kind of thing with starting a new church when they feel called by God to start up a new congregation to be the body of Christ in their neighborhood, as we, my wife and I, have felt called to in the West Side of Buffalo. So, you know, one way to do it is when there is a group of people at an existing church that can kind of hive off of that church, 20 or 25 people who live in a neighborhood, and the church feels like we are called to do something more discreet and personal to this neighborhood. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is when there are a group of people meeting in a living room somewhere, dozen people who have a great fellowship mm-hmm. going and say, hey, we need a pastor for this thing we're doing to make this legit. That's one. And then they call and they find their networks and whatever. They find a pastor. Yeah. I have to say, sometimes I am envious of those people because that process feels like it would be nice sometimes. like I said, about 5 years ago, I felt called to come back to Buffalo from Washington, D.C., where I was living at the time, come back to Buffalo and plant a new church on the west side of Buffalo. But there were neither of those situations here. So I was hoping in that 5 years that one of them would come up, and it didn't. So we moved back here on faith. I shipped my family up here, and we bought a house on the west side recently. We moved in. And we have begun to start to gather people. The Lord has provided, but like I said, there are several ways of doing it, and it's just specific to the situation. It turned out there were no churches within the Anglican Church in North America in the city of Buffalo, at least I haven't yet found a little home group that was looking for a pastor for this particular way of doing things. So we really, probably the number one way we got our foot in the door, first of all, St. Bartholomew's Church in Tonawanda was very helpful just to start to be a personal connection for us, a kind of family connection through the denomination. But in a different way, we had a lot of great help through the church planting initiative. In particular, I touched base last year with Pastor Jeremy Hazelton at the Village Church. Mm-hmm. And they have been extremely hospitable to us and helped us to expand our networks. So for us, that process has looked something like this. I moved here at the end of January, started having coffee with everyone I could in order to support my family in the process. You know, so here's one option again. You can either raise $100,000 through various sources, and some people do that. I was able to do accounting work full-time to transfer my job up here and just telecommute for it. So I have a great situation for that right now. And so that's what I've been doing since then. We started out, we did an Ash Wednesday service on March 1st, which is probably an unusual way to kick off church planting gathering, is a service of repentance and ashes and mm-hmm. confession, that kind of thing. But we started out on that note, in part because it was the seasonal time, but in part because that was also part of our vision, this particular way of following Jesus that we are doing, which is not in conflict or in competition with other ways of following Jesus, but again, hopefully adding something to the mix here, is one in which we are both liturgical and missional. So liturgical, we have some set ways of doing things, prayers that we pray, but we are also missional. We are evangelical and Catholic in the sense of universal, broad, the church traditions. We are both of those things. And so when we pray these prayers, like going through an Ash Wednesday service, they are prayers that we pray. They are not just words that we say on paper. These are things that are meant to enhance our devotions. And our devotion, our personal relationship with Jesus, enhances our church service as we pray these things wholeheartedly together. That's part of what we were doing, and so that's what we did. We did an Ash Wednesday service, we did a Lenten Bible study, and then a large Easter Vigil service. The Easter Vigil is one of the oldest, probably the oldest special service that we have any record of historically. The early church loved vigils for important days. They would stay up all night beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the most important vigil for the early church was the Easter Vigil for a number of
reasons.
And
why is that?
Yeah. Easter's important, but it's important for a couple of reasons. Right. One of which was that they typically did baptisms on Easter. Mm-hmm. In our baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death and mm-hmm. raised with him in his resurrection.
Perfect
and so
time to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we people are raised through the resurrection of Jesus himself. And so anyway, the Easter Vigil service is something that sort of fell out of common use in the West. It's been important in the East for a long time. It's kind of revived in the last several decades. So we did this Easter Vigil service, really powerful way of walking through the scriptural narrative together. With like 8 or 10 readings, along with songs and prayers and that kind of thing, culminating in renewing our baptismal vows together, and then taking communion together at night. So it's just a powerful thing to do. We had a large crowd for that. Again, Village Church let us use their space. Yeah. Great time. So we've been doing things like that to start to make connection, to show what we're doing, to show what it means to utilize some of the traditions, but to do so in a way that that has a deeply evangelical heart also.
Okay. So someone's coming to any of these services, or and there are other things that you're doing in addition to right. public gatherings. You're doing smaller gatherings.
That's right. Yeah, we do weekly Bible studies, of course, and you know, some of those. Many of you who have attended Bible studies, you know how Bible studies go. We I lead those. We do those in typically North Buffalo and the West Side. Although we finish with a form of prayer called Compline prayer, which is just a nighttime prayer that monks used to say, and it's been again revived in the last 100 years or so for the laity, for everyday regular Joes, this kind of beautiful way of kind of praying yourself into the night, using the scripture, you know, psalms and that kind of thing that mention the night and the evening and God giving us peace. So we do that in our Bible studies as well. We do monthly. Cookout and Eucharist, where we gather in someone's backyard and have some hot dogs and hamburgers, and then worship and take communion together. We're doing that as we gather up steam for a launch of Sunday services in December. Church planting is not just about getting a Sunday service kind of thing off. Church planting is a long process that takes 5 or 10 years to rethink in a community what is God doing here and what's it going to take from a church.
Yeah, Brett, real quick, how much time we got left for this? We got about 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Can you do me a favor? I know one of the things that you had invited me to was a series of discussions that were going on, and I know recently Dr. Cullum was there. Can you talk a little bit, Dr. Cullum from Northeastern Seminary, one of the professors there, can you talk a little bit about that? And it's obviously God is drawing people to these conversations, and I find it fascinating in a number of ways, but talk a little bit about that.
So one thing that we do is called the Nickel City Forum, which we subtitle Microbrews, Macro Questions. We get together at a local establishment, get a private room there, and have conversations about kind of big questions of faith and culture. My sense had been when I got here that the depth of biblical and theological knowledge was not super high, even among kind of smarter Christians in Buffalo.
And Barna affirms that.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know.
What are we, seventh? Sixth?
Yeah.
Whatever list he
we're
puts
on.
There's
10.
Like eight lists, yeah. And we're like on seven of them.
Not doing so hot. And so that doesn't just apply to thinking about theological topics, whatever it's, you know, predestination or communion or whatever your topic is. It's just thinking about life theologically, holding as much of God's word up as possible when thinking about our culture and the arts and healthcare and all these things. So we do a monthly drinks and discussion forum called the Nickel City Forum, where we bring in a speaker to talk. We did one on the Trinity. We did one on the theology of suffering. We've done a bioethics one, looking at the ethics of biotechnological enhancement. We're doing another one called Is Prayer Irrational on September 22nd at The Place on Lexington here in Buffalo. We have one on theology and race. Another one on coming up in November on Is the God of the Old Testament a Moral Monster? Looking at some of the hard passages in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So I've seen it necessary to raise the bar on some of those conversations. Maybe a place where both Christians can come who are interested in thinking maybe in a more deep way than they get in a Bible study, but also a place where skeptics can come who don't have a safe place to talk about things with Christians, a place where we can just bat around the ideas and see where things go.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating about this is that, you know, for those of you driving around, you may be listening to this and going, wow, I want to get connected to something like that, because I have these questions or I have these thoughts and I wonder what believers think about this, because my neighbor who doesn't believe in God, I know what he thinks or I know what she thinks. How can they connect with you in the event that they'd like to attend something like this?
The easiest way to connect, we have a website, AnglicanWNY.com. That's AnglicanWNY. WNY.com. There's a contact form there. There's also information about the Nickel City Forum. If you just Google the Nickel City Forum, there's only one. Yeah. You'll find there's sign up stuff there. So that's the easiest way to do it. AnglicanWNY.com. There's a lot of our information on there.
Well, Brian, thanks for stopping by this week. I know you're going to join us next week, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into more of this stuff. But just really good conversation today.
I'm looking forward to maybe next week we can dive right back into the discussions of the forums.
That's right.
I think that's huge for today's Christian, even. There are people asking legit questions out there, and that have there are difficult passages to navigate in God's Word. And as we have an answer, and we can walk through this, it's good to listen. A lot of times we say, no, no, God wasn't that way, or he did this or that, and we really don't have a lot other to say than just the dogmatic. And instead of listening and trying to walk through things with people and kind of understand their perspective, I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to talk about that more next week.
Definitely.
You'll be joining us. And we're going to talk about the church plant more. Brian Wendell of Buffalo Anglican Church Plant joining us today and joining us next week. And for Ryan Cozy, I'm Brett Larson. Have a great week and serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.